Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life, you'll have all you need, just receive with a willing heart. You'll be set for life, you'll be on your way any day you decide to start. You'll be set for life. You'll be set for life.
1 Corinthians was written to a church that was divided. People were sinning like crazy. That doesn't happen anymore, does it? And they were dividing the church down the middle, and it was a bad deal. And so he wrote 1 Corinthians because somebody from Chloe's household, not the girl that ran out that way, but it's a different Chloe, they were concerned about what was wrong with the church. So they said, hey, we need Paul's help. And so he wrote them a letter. Here's what was reported to me, and so here's what we need to do. So we've been reading the whole book of Corinthians about what they need to do to get their church in order and back into unity again. And this is still good material for us today because we still have to follow the same stuff. That was a couple thousand years ago, but people are still people. And we still need to pay close attention to what Paul's getting at. So let me pray first before we go into this because we need understanding in this stuff. Father God, give us understanding. Holy Spirit of God, who indwells us who believe, give us a clear understanding. Lord, for anybody who might be here or hearing through when this hits radio, Lord, if they are not a believer, may they come to see the need to make Jesus their Lord and their Savior right now. We thank you for it, Father, for the understanding, and we thank you for your coming to save us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul's been going on. Y'all need to do this. You need to do that. Stop with the sexual immorality. Everybody get in order. God has an order. We need to get into doing this. But he's been saying all these things. Now he's going to give them a heavy dose of the gospel. Like, that's always a help, right? That always works. So that's what he's going to go into now. So let's get into it in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Well, okay, we all heard it, but how'd you believe it? Did you believe it in vain or what? You know, it's easy to receive the word, to hear it. And there's times I've given people the word and they heard it, and that'll make you think, oh, well, they heard it and they took it. Well, so that means they accepted it. Not necessarily. It says they received the word. Received comes from the Greek word, and I don't speak Greek. You know, like they said, it's all Greek to me, so I'm just going to do my best. The Greek word is paralambano. Sounds like pasta. Anyway, paralambano. It means they received it in their mind. They got it up here. But that doesn't mean that it has been swallowed down by belief into their heart. That's a big problem with a lot of people today. They know Jesus died on the cross. They know Noah floated in a boat. They know David killed Goliath. They know it as factual information. Even people who are not Christians know that because they've heard it through the storylines for so long. But have they swallowed it down into the heart? See, that's the make or break deal right there. Knowing doesn't save you. Believing does. And so salvation verses always say that you must believe in the heart. It never says knowing in the mind. Knowing in the mind means you received it, but do you believe it? And so Paul said the gospel saves you unless. See that word? Bible college taught me to read. He said, the professor said, I'm going to teach you how to read by being observant So I went through 4 years of this. I can save you some tuition just by following me here. Just be observant to the words. He says, unless you believed in vain. The gospel saves you unless you believed in vain. So now the Greek word for vain is eke, which means inconsiderably or without success or without effect. You believed inconsiderably. You believed without effect. It was fruitless. There was no substance to it. It was void. They heard the gospel, but their belief about it was pretty well useless. And so Paul said the gospel saves if you hold fast to it. Now again, I want to do these Greek things in here because it's helpful. So hold fast comes from the Greek word katecho. Katecho. Again, whether I'm saying it right or not, I'm from Alvin, I'm a redneck, so what? We're just going to move. Katecho, which means to take a firm, secure position on it. Hold fast, get secure, be firm. A bank vault door, they lock it securely so that if somebody tries to rob the place, the door will hold fast. It is securely and firmly possessing whatever's locked inside it. So with the gospel, we need to securely lock it in, have it locked in. Then nobody can take it from you once that happens. Paul is saying it's not enough to just hear the gospel. You have to really believe it. You got to get it down in the heart. So he knew that the reason a lot of the Corinthians were running around and sinning like crazy is because their belief was in vain. There's nothing there. It was hollow. It was empty. And it didn't produce any change. Friends, I'll tell you, Jesus will change you. You cannot accept Jesus and be the same old that you've always been. Jesus is too big for that. You get Jesus, He will get in there and He will make some changes. And it'll be changes you can't stop because you accepted Him and He's more powerful than you. He will change you. Truly believing in the gospel of Jesus will make you into a new creation, if that doesn't exemplify it enough. A new creation to where you can't live like the devil and feel okay about it. When I got saved, I still had habitual things that were sin. All of a sudden, I didn't feel okay with it anymore. I hated it, and eventually it fell off. It's like you get out of the shower, you dry off, you still got some water on you, but it's going to dry off eventually. But you can't, when you get out of the shower and you go around for the next day and you're still wet, something's wrong. You're still playing in the shower. So it will come off. He'll change you. Most people insist that they are saved just because they heard the gospel. I heard it and I know how it works and I've heard it a bunch of times, so I'm saved. That's what they insist about it. But they're going to have to face the Lord about it because most people never took it serious. They believed in vain. Uh-oh. Paul said it saves unless you believed in vain. I want to show you a verse that ought to scare the hell out of you. And I remember going over this once before and Joy goes, oh! Anyway, but it scared the hell out of me. If you're a believer and somebody ever tells you go to hell, say, I can't. I'm saved by Jesus. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many. You see that? You see that word? How many? Many. Does it say few? No. It says many. People, really listen to this. Really listen. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus is going to tell most people, you got to go. Well, that's not the God I believe in. Well, here's the God of the Bible. We better know our God. Lawlessness, it says, is synonymous. It means the same thing as iniquity, which is willful sin, my way, the way I want to do it. Not the way the Lord wants it, my way. That's what that means. You who practiced lawlessness, sin, iniquity, depart from me. Because those who practice lawlessness are not holding fast to the word of God. Instead, they are holding fast to their sin. You see the difference? How many are going to condemnation? I just want to make sure this is more than ironclad in here, what he's saying. How many are going to be denied? Some? Few? No. Many. Many. This is going to be the majority. The majority of people that think they're saved are not. And if that scares you, good. It should. Praise God for it. Now you'll listen. Because a long time I did not. Listen to the gospel. Many. I want you to be one of the few who holds fast the gospel of Christ deep down in your heart, not one who just merely receives it in your mind. Ray, this scares me. How do I know if I'm one of these denied people or not? I want you to take a look at what the people in Matthew 7 are going to say to him. They're going to say, Lord, Lord. You know the verse, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. They're going, hey, Lord, we're calling you Lord, right? But look what they say. Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Lord, I did this. And Lord, I did that. Look what I did, Lord, Lord. Look what I did. They're not acknowledging their salvation is based on what Jesus did. You see the problem? There's the problem. So how do I know if I'm saved or not? How do I know I'm not going to be one of these people? Well, I don't know. Which way do you see the gospel? Do you see it based on what you've done? Or do you see it based on what Jesus has done on the cross for you? That's how you know. That's the error of the people who are going to be told to depart. They think it falls on them somehow. It don't fall on you. It fell upon Jesus. He's the one that said it's finished, not us. So a genuine gospel belief will alter your conduct. A genuine gospel belief will alter your conduct towards the righteousness of Christ. Now, Paul is trying to convey to the Corinthians, he's trying to say, guys, it's time to make it real. It's time to really believe. Not just, oh, I know about it. Well, then why are you running around acting like you're doing? Why are you doing all this stuff that I'm hearing about that's going on? Division in the church, willful sin. If you really believed this stuff, you wouldn't be doing that willfully. It would hurt, and you'd say, I got to stop this. One of the very jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. The Holy Spirit can convict really good because He's God. He's got a lot of power in that conviction. You cannot continue that way and be saved. Somewhere you're going to break. Somewhere. He's saying it's time to get real. The Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life will produce a change so drastic and you'll become so different that everybody will notice it. I've got old friends. You're a pastor? I said, yeah. I remember the stuff you used to do, Ray. I remember the stuff I used to do too. Like, we don't buy it. I said, well, that's because you don't know me anymore. I said, that old Ray died, and this is a new Ray that you've never met. Why don't you get to know me a little bit and find out? It's kind of funny. Recently, a friend of mine I've known a long time. Finally, he just happened to call me. He said, Ray, he goes, I got a problem. I said, what's up? And he just poured his heart out. Like, wow. This was the guy that said, I don't buy it. And now he's asking me for... I was honored. It was great. They'll see it. They'll eventually see it. Paul is telling them that their bad behavior, the things that they're doing willfully in iniquity, is evidence on where they truly stand. You ever have them people, oh yeah, I'm a believer. But the way they're conducting themselves, you look at them, you go, man, if you are, I can't tell, you know. That's a harsh reality. Sadly, this is the case of our nation today. Most people that say they're saved, again, how many? Many. Most people think they're saved. And I'm telling you, it's time for us to proclaim the gospel because these people that think they're saved, that swear to you they're saved, Paul's addressing their problem. You believed in vain. Oh, I believe, but it was vain. It's hollow. There was no effect from it. The Corinthians thought their sin was okay. And Paul is giving them a shakedown saying, no, it's not. It's not okay. America, we need to listen to Paul. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, this is the very heart of the gospel. Here he goes. He's giving them the core of it now. If Christ died for our sins, then we need to die to our sins too. Christ was crucified on the cross. You know the passage, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If you're walking around in your willful sin, you haven't died. You have not been crucified to that. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus didn't say, I have compassion on you, I hope you get better. He went to the cross and died a death with those sins upon Him. Why do we still willfully walk in our sin? We got to die to it too. So let's remember in the previous chapter now, Paul said that prophecy was greater than these other gifts they were trying to utilize. He said prophecy. He drilled prophecy so hard. Now notice what Paul said twice here in this passage of Scripture. Two times he said something. He said Christ died and what? According to the Scriptures. He said Christ rose again. And what did he say? According to the Scriptures. Paul has been going prophecy, 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 and now he tells them twice that the gospel had been prophesied to happen. I love Paul. I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to see Jesus first. Hey, Jesus, we're going to party. And I'm going to say, hey, Paul, come here, bud. I got to talk to you, man. I said, now, I know in your day you didn't know John Wayne, but to me, you were the John Wayne of the apostles, okay? You dealt it out like it was supposed to be. He tells them twice about prophecy. Why? So that they'll stop believing in vain. So that they'll stop believing in vain, that they'll find the gospel to be true because it has been validated by prophecy. Validated. Proven. You know, God doesn't just do stuff without throwing prophecies in front of it first. So that by the time it hits, you go, oh yeah, that was prophesied to happen. Huh, God's word must be true. That's the importance of prophecy. God uses prophecy to get through to us so that we'll see He's real. The people were believing with a hollow, vain belief. And Paul's saying, look, this was prophesied. You need to understand this is real. This is real stuff. He prophesied also, God's word prophesied, that Israel would become a nation. And that was prophesied thousands of years ago. What happened in 1948? Israel became a nation. Goodness, I know people that were alive in 1948. It wasn't that long ago. And this was recent, so the Word of God must be true, right? I'm going to edit that out when I said that. I hate it when I say right, because I always have to edit that out for the radio show. So whenever I say, oh, just go ahead and laugh, because the more you laugh at me for saying right, the more I'll stop, right? 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 So Paul said that the gospel of Jesus happened according to the Scriptures so that the Corinthians would see it as a fulfillment of prophecy so that they will be shaken out of vain belief and say, the Word of God must be true. God fulfills prophecy in front of us all the time. You ever see it? You ever like watch the news and stuff and look and say, oh, that's prophetic. Look at all the stuff that's going on against Israel. Why is everybody after Israel? It was prophesied. No, it was because of the political situation with, okay, well, what about the political situation 500 years ago? What about 2,000 years ago? What about 3,000 years ago? Hello? It was prophesied. So you can look at the news, oh, they're against Israel again. Well, prophesied. God's word must be true. We got to shake ourselves of this vain belief. We got to walk in reality here that God's word's real. It'll jolt us out of unbelief into real belief, hold fast belief. And so now after throwing prophecy at them, Paul also wants to give more evidence of Jesus' resurrection. This gets really cool. 1 Corinthians 15 and 5. And that he, Jesus, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. He's talking about after the resurrection, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. Now, the reason Paul said born out of due time is he's like, I was kind of late to the show here, is kind of what he's getting at. Paul did not serve with Jesus while Jesus was walking during his 33 years. He saw him after the resurrection. He says, like one born out of due time. He's like, I was late to the show, but I did see him. That's kind of what he means. So now most of these 500 people were still alive, 20 or so years after Jesus died. Now, if I heard this and I'm thinking that was the Messiah, yeah, and 20 years later, there's still people alive walking around today that was with him. You know what I'd do? I'd run out the door and go find them. I'd want to go talk to these people. I think that was a hint. Hey, go ask them. Don't just take my word for it. Go talk to these people. They're still living. Wow. So not only do we have prophecy to validate what happened with the resurrection, that it did indeed happen, we've also got 500 or slightly less witnesses to validate, to prove it, to attest to it after it happened, what they saw. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been validated, proven for all history, for all time. It did happen. And that's a good thing, because if Jesus didn't get raised from the dead, we couldn't either. If Jesus died on the cross and that was it, well, then you would die to your sins and that would be it for you. I want to be raised to life. Well, Jesus was raised to life. You know, growing up, I never heard the whole story. I always heard that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and that's all I heard. Well, that didn't make sense to me. Okay, well, it sounds good, but I don't see the victory in that. I never got it. So I went for years and years not fully understanding how great the full greatness of that until I realized some time later he rose again too, and because he rose again, I raised with him. Okay, now it makes sense. Now I'm excited. Isn't that good? The resurrection is real. It has been proven. And it's time to toss away useless, vain belief. And it's time to get real. Possess the gospel securely in our heart, holding fast, where no one can steal it away. It'll be locked in and secured. Oh. Guys, we got to swallow it from here to here into the heart. We got to get it down from just knowing it to believing it, because believing it will work outward and change you. Now, Paul mentions James. That was Jesus' own brother, who himself probably did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after he saw him risen again. Now, imagine this is your very own brother saying, I'm the Messiah. Yeah, right. Mom, check out what Jesus is saying. You know, I can just see that going down. James didn't believe. I'm sure he came to belief because of the resurrection too. Now, James once had a vain belief, probably. It was hollow, it was empty, didn't validate anything. But then he became a believer to hold fast the gospel which saves. I want to bring up a parallel story concerning these witnesses here. When Jesus appeared before all the disciples, he once appeared before all the disciples except Thomas. Thomas happened to not be there. Let me show you this to further what Paul is saying. John 20 and 24. It says, Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. So he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you through a line-by-line, verse-by-verse study in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless, you are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life.